Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things people love.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Coming up on show 937, Elon Musk at the European Battery Conference talking range, semi-trucks, how many batteries they'll make in Berlin, and more. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome along to EV News Daily. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. And today, I've been through 20 minutes plus of Elon Musk's keynote at the European Battery Conference to really look at what we need to think about the words that he said. Try and read between the lines as well about range, about the semi-truck, about cars coming with 1,000 kilometres or 600 miles of range, halving the price of batteries, how many cells going to be made at the Berlin Gigafactory, and even designing a local car for the European market that's smaller right here. So much to get to today, but we will start off with a wonderful moment at the beginning that proves that Rocket Man is human like the rest of us and forgets to unmute his mic when he's doing a Zoom call.
Mr. Musk, I think maybe your microphone might be on mute. Is that possible?
Yes.
There we go.
Look, we've all done it this year. I've done more video calls than I've done in my whole life because of COVID and the amount of times I've either had to say or someone said, You're muted. Yeah, that's embarrassing. Good to know, though. I feel better now, actually, that the man who is going to send himself to Mars before too long can be dumb, just like the rest of us, at least on occasions. Well, welcome to EV News Daily, podcast 937. My name is Martin Lee, and early in the morning, sort of 9-10 o'clock time, here in Europe, Elon Musk took part virtually in a European battery conference, but I gather he was in California on Pacific. That's 2 o'clock in the morning. He does not need to be doing this, but it's a sign that he did and was generous with his time and talked about many different things. Now, look, I could just post this online, but I think it helps if we just split it into some more small chunks and do some analysis of this, because he's careful with his words. And so pay attention to what a CEO says when he gives a keynote talk at a conference. You can always find little nuggets of things in there, talking about Berlin Gigafactory, talking about different vehicles, semi-truck. We'll get on to why scale is important. We'll start with this, the story that has been picked up already by lots of media. He talked about range and how there's a big number that he thinks Tesla can get to, and it's 1,000 kilometers. Here he is.
As far as range is concerned, we I think I've shown that the range can be very long. In fact, we could make it even longer than it is today. But our longest range vehicles have a range over 600 kilometers. And there's more. We could actually do more than that. And you'll see actually some improved versions of our vehicles come out with over 600 kilometers range, starting to approach 700 kilometers. And we even have some under development long-term that can do 1,000 kilometres.
You know what's really impressive, and you might think this is an entirely ridiculous small point, but I don't, is that he does this 20-minute video call. And when he's talking about things like range, he does it all in kilometres, because he's doing the European Battery Conference. Now, he doesn't need to, right? Billionaires are accused of expecting the world to bend to them as they're flying around on their private jets, and it says a lot, doesn't it, actually, that he's clearly talking to some, I think it was a German host, maybe, it's a European conference, and he's giving the numbers in kilometres, not miles. I mean, I'm in the UK, so I use miles, same as the US, but anyway, I thought it was deeply impressive. Maybe it's just me. It's a really small point, but I like the little things sometimes. 1,000 kilometres is 621 miles. He's talking about a future vehicle there, which I think is clearly the Roadster, because he's talking about a car that is in long-term development. And, you know, long-term development cars, would you class Cybertruck as that? No, because it'll be made in Austin next year. That's not really long-term. I think Roadster will be more long-term. It'll be using the 4680 cells. There's no doubt about that. That'll be the car that comes with 1,000 kilometres or 621 miles of range. In the next clip, I want to pay attention here to how Elon talks about how to improve the cost of cells.
What we see is really the fundamental impediment to progress with batteries is the cost. So if you've got range, if you've got rapid recharge, and all those can be achieved, and a high calendar and high cycle life, so you know batteries can last like 15 years, which we believe ours currently can, then what it comes down to most of all is improving the cost, so that the affordability of batteries is of battery powered cars, and electric vehicles, is improved, and so that everyone can afford to buy an electric car. That's really what we see as the fundamental thing that needs to be improved.
I think people forget that goal of everybody can afford to buy an electric car. Doesn't necessarily mean that everybody can afford to buy a Tesla. I don't think they're ever going to swim at the very bottom of the market, but they probably will do at some point a $25,000 compact or a hatchback car. We'll get onto that in a minute, actually, at the end of the podcast. Stay tuned for that, because he's got some interesting things to say about the sub Model 3 size compact car, but we'll get to that in a moment. But also, that's his mission, and that is the mission of Tesla, is for everyone to be driving or advance the move to sustainable transport. And you can't do that when batteries are still so expensive. But what a key phrase, for everybody to be able to afford an electric car. Just incredible. Next, let's get on to talking about the cost of cells. He misspeaks here, by the way, and he talks about 50 cents per kilowatt hour. He's clearly misspeaking. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. He's probably been up running any one of his, or all of his companies, all day, and he doesn't mean cents, he means dollars. Now, I've seen people online today making an argument, of course he means cents, because he's a genius, and he's going to drive down the costs. You can't make the cells with the raw materials. You can't buy them for 5 or 50 cents. But if you think that he was talking about $50 or $55 per kilowatt hour at cell level, then that is, it's probably half of where they are at the moment. There are others in the market like BYD with their LFP batteries that are, those cells are a little bit cheaper than what Tesla are paying. But anyway, have a listen to this, talking about cell level prices and how that equates to a long range car.
Now, along the way, there will also be improvements in energy density, which really translates to improvements in range. So in pursuit of lower cost batteries, you actually end up in a lot of cases with improved energy density, which also gets more range. So the long-term goal would be to try to get to a cost per kilowatt hour of perhaps around 50 cents or 55 cents at the cell level for a long-range battery cell. And in order to get there, there are a lot of innovations that are necessary, both in the cell design and in the design of the factory that produces them. So, and in fact, there's quite a bit more work in building the machine that builds the machine than in the cell itself. So one needs to design the cell in the right way. And then the very difficult part, and I can't emphasize this enough, the very difficult part is then scaling up that production and achieving extremely high reliability and safety with the cells.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt for me that he's talking about dollars, not cents there. Next clip, I want to play you just a short clip on why volume is essential, where the cycle time is very fast. If they talked about this on Battery Day, I didn't pick up on it because my mind was probably blown with 100 other things, let alone the cycle time. But I thought this was interesting because he talks about the scale of the factories that are needed, and also the speed at which you need to make things in order to reduce costs, and there being efficiencies in high volume, and why the machine that builds the machine, if you're playing Elon Musk drinking game, there's one for you, along with exponential growth, is the struggle. Have a listen.
There is the very element of scale itself, in that it's important to achieve economies of scale make the batteries affordable. So things have to be done at extremely high volume. So that means a very big factory, and not just one that is big, but also one where the cycle time through the factory is very low. So you have fast cycle time with a big factory is what yields a high output. In order to achieve a fast cycle time and high precision, you need to develop advanced machinery for every aspect of the production system.
Next, he goes on to talk about the dry electrode technology that we've heard from Battery Day, so I won't replay all of that for you. It's a big chunk of his talk, but if you paid attention to that, I don't need to go over it again here. The next clip, actually, let's talk here about battery cell production at Berlin. This is what he had to say about how big it could get.
We want to go from where we have a sort of small pilot plant, which is basically proof of concept in California, to something that will actually be, I think, possibly the largest battery cell plant in the world. I think it will be the largest. It would be capable of over 100 gigawatt hours per year of production, and then possibly over time going to 200 or 250 gigawatt hours a year. Pretty confident at that point it would be the largest battery cell plant in the world. As I said, a lot of processes where we have to quite radically improve the cycle time, and where we have to redesign machinery for continuous flow operation. I've said this publicly on many, many occasions that designing the prototype of any advanced technology is, I think, relatively easy, and then scaling up to high volume production is very hard. And in fact, there's an old saying, it's like it's 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. it might be 99.9 in the case of battery cells. You'll see a lot of announcements of this cell breakthrough or that cell breakthrough, this technology breakthrough, and say, okay, well, why can't they just make a lot of them? It's because the scaling up of the production process is much harder than proving something out on a lab bench.
So there are some numbers there to think about. 100 gigawatt hours for Berlin cell production. Of course, the 4680 cells. But no time scale given on that. Again, pay attention to his words, because people can get a bit loopy-loosed, crazy sometimes about, oh, it's going to be next year or whatever. Well, there was no time scale on that, no specific numbers, but 100 gigawatt hours is, you know, roughly three times what they're making in Nevada at Gigafactory, not called Gigafactory 1 anymore, but Gigafactory in Nevada. It'll be 10 times what the pilot line in California will eventually be producing. And if you just take an average pack size of 75 kilowatt hours, and the argument that you could go 60 to make smaller cars or 100 to make bigger cars, but take the average. Just humour me, that's 1.3 million cars coming out of Giga Berlin if they get to 100 gigawatt hours. That's not accounting for home storage or other types of vehicles. But he mentioned 200 or 250. Again, no time scale. And, you know, he tends to do this as well, not when he's shooting the breeze, because, like I said, you know, I think he picks his words carefully, but sometimes he'll say things that are possible or can be worked on, or it's in 2030, but clearly the plans for Giga Berlin is for it to have huge scale, and that being of course translated across to Shanghai and Austin as well. Next, he talked about the sustainability a lot about the things that we heard at Battery Day, reducing the cobalt content, which is good for mining, using the pure nickel anode. Let's get on to a quick chat about the semi-truck, because that got some headlines today of him talking about 500 kilometres being easy. And look, this is interesting because range and trucking are one of those things that everybody becomes an instant expert on the internet. You know, or you're told electric trucks won't work, or hydrogen trucks are the only answer, and batteries are too heavy. So let's ask the man himself.
Well, I think this is really just a fundamental calculation of you say, like, what's the energy density of the of the battery, of the cell, and then of the battery pack, and then of the integrated battery pack and truck chassis. So total mass of the semi truck before, you know, before including the trailer or anything, and can you get that mass down to something which is comparable to existing diesel trucks? I think the answer is absolutely yes, and we demonstrated that with prototype trucks. And so getting a range of, let's say, 500 kilometers is, I think, quite easy, like trivial, to be frank, for a semi-truck. And this is assuming a truck that's pulling a load of something on the order of 40 tons, 40 metric tons. So just a heavy truck. And then you can take the range, if you want, for long-range trucking, up to, we think, easily 800 kilometers, and we see a path over time to get to 1,000 kilometer range with a heavy duty truck. This is, like I said, truck on the order of 40 metric ton total mass. We think this is going to be extremely competitive and compelling to the trucking companies. And we actually have a few prototype semi-trucks that are in operation, have been in operation for over a year.
So he says 500 kilometres easy, fully loaded. The range goes up to 800 kilometres easily. That was the word he used. And a path to 1,000. So again, I've seen some articles today. Elon announces the, you know, 1,000 kilometre truck. He didn't say that. He said a path to. Key, listen to his words, and that's 621 miles, by the way. But it's, you know, it's interesting that he said there is a path to that. He talked about cell to pack technology and cells being part of the truck. And again, something at Battery Day, I think my mind was so blown as I was, you know, pretending to understand more than I did. I had to watch that a couple of times and learn a lot as well from Battery Day. But also one of the things that was interesting was about cell to pack technology and reducing some of the weight and the things that come with making the batteries into modules, the modules into packs. And also, I was thinking about it in context of, well, Model Y, that's going to be the first car that has this technology. It's going to be coming out of Berlin in a year's time. That's going to have the cell to pack technology. But when that is up and running, and Elon said there will be a period of time when they finesse what they do, and then they'll roll it out to Austin, Shanghai, and Fremont. And that actually, I didn't think about the semi-truck at the time. It's never top of mind. But of course, he says, he uses the phrase, of course, we'll implement it in the semi-truck. Next, he talks about the weight penalty of batteries in an electric truck. Have a listen.
You know, some keys to that are having, like I said, a high energy density cell, and then integrating that cell into the pack with a minimum of extra mass. And then having a structural battery pack where the cells and the battery pack actually form part of the core structure. And this is also something that we talked about at Battery Day, and that we will be, of course, implementing with the semi-truck. And the net result is you're able to carry basically the same cargo as a regular diesel truck. Like this, we think maybe there's a one-ton penalty, maybe, but at this point we think possibly you can even have less than a one-ton payload reduction, and it could long-term, I think, be zero payload reduction for electric trucks. So sort of a, you know, in terms of like to put numbers on this that are specific, you know, something like around a 300 300 watt hours per kilogram, something like that, at the cell level, is enough to get to these the high ranges that I talked about, sort of the 800 kilometer range.
Well, you know, I found this research from a UK Hauliers Association, where they point out that in 2019, the average cost of diesel per year was £45,000. Well, even if you say that's £180,000 for the semi-truck, because we have VAT of 20%, well, then that's still, you're spending on diesel what is effectively a quarter of the purchase price of the truck. And whilst the driver is the biggest cost of haulage, fuel isn't far behind. Well, the semi-truck is rated at less than 2 kilowatt-hours per mile. Under EU rules, driving rules, a driver can do 9 hours in a day, and then there are some weekly limits and a two consecutive week limits. But even if you just take that 9 hours a day and say that, let's be unreasonable, and we don't give that driver a break, and he or she has to just pound it on the motorway for 56 miles an hour at the speed limit for 9 hours non-stop. Like, get up, drive. Like, there's nowhere really you can do that because of traffic jams here. But, like, get up, go, 9 hours, stop, when, you know, legally you have to stop. That'd be 504 miles. Well, that's only 1,000 kilowatt hours for a whole day of driving, and it's unreasonable. It won't be that. But even at domestic rates, and I pay 15 pence on average. Well, I don't. Mine fluctuates, but I'm on a weirdo tariff. But the average domestic electricity is 15 pence. That's 150 quid for a day's driving with a full load. Now, I don't know what the cost of the equivalent diesel would be, but there's no doubt that is, at least, well, Tesla say it's half the price. Now, I haven't looked at the price of the average efficiency of a modern diesel truck in the UK and what we currently pay. We pay so much for fuel here because of all the fuel duty. But Tesla themselves say that there is $200,000 of savings to make on the running costs and on maintenance as well. And look, some of these trucks run two drivers or even three shifts in one vehicle 7 days a week. You know, so the more you use those trucks, the more you're making those savings over fuel. And that's, you know, that's really interesting to hear him talk about that. So when you're purchasing so much electricity, I don't think you'll be paying, or commercially they won't be paying what we pay domestically. They'll get a better deal, or they'll charge when they're taking a break overnight, possibly. Well, mine's sometimes free overnight when the base load is low and it's windy, lots of renewables. So, so much to think about in terms of how quickly we can move to electric haulage. Anyway, next he talks about, again, lots of headlines today, the European designed compact car or hatchback. What do most people want? Asks Elon.
You know, I think there's just a lot of talent, talented designers, engineers in Europe, of course. And it would, I think for a lot of the best people, they really want to work somewhere where they're doing original design work. They don't want to just be, you know, doing, say, the European version of something that was designed in California. So I think it's important in order to attract the best talent, to do original design. And I think, you know, possibly in Europe, it would make sense to do, I guess, a compact car, so perhaps a hatchback or something like that. And something that, like, well, what do most people want and in a given region? Or what is a very popular approach to take? You know, in the US, the cars just tend to be bigger for personal taste reasons. And in Europe, it tends to be smaller. I mean, if you're trying to park in a dense urban environment, having a car that is that actually fits in a parking space easily is important. I was driving a Model X around Berlin, and we had quite a bit of trouble finding a parking space that we could fit. So I think, you know, that would probably be a good candidate for original design.
And he is right. He is right that in Europe we want smaller cars. When I drive a Model X in the UK, it's too big. It's comically large for our roads and our car parking spaces. I mean, it's good having a little fella with his baby seat in the back, because at least then you can park in the mother and child spaces, or whatever we have to call them these days, like the parent and child space, because they're a little bit bigger. But our parking spaces are small. Our roads are small. Let alone, like, when I went to Miami last year and kindly the gang at myev.com sorted me out with a Tesla Model X, Like, it felt normal on American roads, like being overtaken by Ford F-250s and stuff. I was like, well, this feels like the X feels normal. But over here, it's too big. Like the Cybertruck, I forget the dimensions now of the Cybertruck, but it's a big vehicle. It's bigger than the X. It's a big vehicle. That's going to be ridiculous on European roads. Okay, you might say it's not coming here for whatever reason. I gather it's to do with the pedestrian safety crumple zones here in Europe and the legislation around that, and they'd have to totally redesign the front end of the Cybertruck until they can't sell it here. That's at least what I understand, but if you know different, let me know in the comments. So it's a shame Cybertruck won't come here, but it's too big anyway. So Elon talking about a car that, you know, fits into our parking spaces, that is not an insignificant matter. And that's your show for today. Thank you for listening. The podcast, as always, available in audio form, now in video form. So if you want to see what Elon Musk looked like during that, then you can go check out the YouTube channel, because finally, we've got the video working. And so go and check that out on YouTube. Let me know your thoughts, how we can improve it as well. I'm only like 4 shows into doing them in the video, so and they're a bit different to the actual podcast that you're listening to. So I'd love to know your feedback. I'm new to it, so I need to learn. So if you spend a lot of time on YouTube and you know what to look for, then I would appreciate your feedback. Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much to our Patreon partners: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley and the EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Richard at RSEV.co.uk. Richard Simons, if you haven't checked out the new URL that they're using at RSEV.co.uk, takes you to the same place. I found out about some cars that you might want to buy. Thank you very much for listening today. Oh, do remember, by the way, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.